2 Chronicles 15, verse 2, God says to Asa, Yahweh is with you while you're with him, and if you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So this is very common, isn't it, in the Bible, this sense of seeking God, and in a sense it is used in the sense of worshipping, but it also means what it says, seeking God. And straight away you get the comfort that God in the end is not looking for total perfection. None of us are going to die perfect. 1 Corinthians 15, we shall be changed. It will have to be not just nature, but more than that. Whilst not obliterating our present personality, in the end we shall have to be changed. So it is, and that is, in a sense, the hope of the gospel. You think of the last words of some men who died, who were faithful. Jacob, he dies saying, I took Shechem from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Well, God says, you did not take the land by your sword or by my bow, but I gave it to you by grace. Samson, revenge me for my two eyes. Well, this is all not quite the spirit of Christ, is it? These are the last words, and yet, Hebrews 11, Samson will be in the kingdom. Think of Josiah and some of the other kings. God's comment overall was, yep, this was a good man, he shall be saved, he abode with me. And yet, you look at how Josiah died, for example. He was told not to go and fight Pharaoh Necho of Egypt. He was specifically told not to by the prophetic word, and he goes and he does so, just like Ahab, disguises himself, and like Ahab, he's killed by an archer, by an arrow. And yet, God's overall judgment is that he was a good man and will be saved. So, we do not die perfect. And we need to remember that, not only about ourselves, but about all those irritating people within the body of Christ, as we see them, irritating to us, irritated we are by their imperfections. Well, like us, they're not going to die perfect. And yet that doesn't mean they're not God's children. Because the essence of it all is seeking God. And this seeking of God that we read of here in verse 2, you see it defined in verse 12. They entered into the covenant to seek Yahweh with all their heart and with all their souls. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, verse 15, for they'd sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. So it is a desire. It is a desire for God. It is a seeking after God. And Jesus capitalizes on this when he begins his whole message about the kingdom, when he preaches the Sermon on the Mount. He begins by saying, basically, blessed are those who haven't made it, won't make it, but want to. That's my summary. You know, blessed are those who seek for righteousness. Blessed are those who mourn, and I think you could say mourn for their sins. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're seeking it, but you're not going to completely get it. And so this is the life that we're asked to lead, seeking him. Not complete perfection, you are not going to get there. And it is only a petty, legalistic, literalistic perfectionist who thinks that he's got there. We are seeking him. Deuteronomy 4:29, there's so many passages about this. When Israel have sinned and are exiled from there, you shall seek Yahweh your God, and you'll find him when you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. So all the heart and all the soul is directed into searching. It doesn't mean that we're on an endless journey where we never really get any answers. It's not talking about an intellectual journey. God's truth, the basic truth of his love, his kingdom, his son, are there to be found and held on to. But in the wider model sense of seeking God, seeking his face, as David puts it in the Psalms, Jeremiah 29:13 again, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. So you find God when you want to, with all your heart, search for him. Well, Matthew 7, as I say in the Sermon on the Mount, those who seek will find. But I think clearly enough, the seeking is of spiritual things. And when David sinned with Bathsheba, he writes Psalm 32, and he talks about being found of God. So his seeking of God was really of God's forgiveness and feeling that fellowship with him, despite being a sinner. That was for him what seeking was, and he found it. So if we really want the things of the kingdom and to eternally be in that environment, we will be. All those that love his appearing, Paul says to Timothy 4, will be there. And to love his appearing is to seek his appearing, really. So we seek God, but you know, it's not one way. God is in search of man. The Lord Jesus himself said that he goes out seeking for goodly pearls and finds them. He goes seeking his sheep and finds it. Jeremiah 5, Jeremiah is told to run around the streets and squares of Jerusalem to see if he can find a man for God. God says of David, I have found David my servant. So we are in search of God, and yet it's mutual. God is in search of man. And when we meet, when the searching man meets the searching God, there is an electric spark, far more than an electric spark. There is joy in heaven, Jesus said, amongst all the angels of God, in those moments when the one who searches for God finds him, not in the sense of achieving moral perfection, but in the sense of finding that security in him and feeling secured in his love. And God likewise is not passive. He's not playing hard to get. He's not hiding behind a rock kind of thing and waiting for you to find him. He is proactively in search of you. And as you search for him with all your heart, you'll find him, sure, because he is in search of you too.